Now, Lord, open up our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your holy word, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Did you know that going to church is good for you? It's good for you. Scientific studies have been done which have shown evidence that regular churchgoers have, amongst other things, lower blood pressure, less depression, and may even live longer on average than those who don't attend. A study carried out earlier this year across several countries showed that people who were active in religious congregations were at least 10% more likely to describe themselves as being very happy in a survey. I don't know if you're very happy this morning. I hope you are. Whatever you make of those figures, our gospel passage this morning might shed some light on why church has the power to transform and to change us for the better. Because here were two people that we met in this reading who went from being downcast, dejected, disheartened, to being energized, enthusiastic, and enterprising. And what happened to them in between? They went to church. Well, you say, wait a minute. I didn't hear anything about them going into a building with stained glass, or they didn't sing any hymns, and there was definitely no collection taken up, so it can't have been church. But these two disciples on the road to Emmaus were transformed by a meal with Jesus. And the things that happened in that encounter are the same things that we are doing here today. Think for a minute about what happened to them. They came together and met with Jesus. They listened and spoke with him. They sat down to a meal, and then they went out to serve him. It's exactly what we are doing today. In fact, for a long time, people have said that this passage in Luke chapter 24 is like a blueprint for church gathering, listening, eating and drinking, going. That's the outline of what we do in our Sunday service, particularly in Holy Communion service. And so I just want to look at those things for a brief moment this morning and to see how it is that this getting together with Jesus has transforming power. So the first thing that happened was there was gathering. Gathering. Here were two people walking together on the road. We only know one of their names, Cleopas. We don't know if the other one even was male or female. We're not told. But we do know that Jesus came and joined them on their walk. And our church services begin with gathering and inviting Jesus to join us. It's really important that we do gather. Staying at home is not the same. Jesus' promise was that where two or three come together in his name, he would be present with them. I was recently at a church service that turned out to be very encouraging, and there was a really special sense of God's presence there. And one person afterwards said, "I nearly didn't come." They said, "I got to the gate and I was about to turn back and go home, but for some reason I came and I'm so glad that I did." That's where we have to start, by actually being here. But then, like those two disciples, we want Jesus to come and join us. And that's where the opening prayers in our service come in. Think of what we've already prayed this morning. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. We're inviting Jesus in and then confessing our sins. You know, when you have dinner at home, and perhaps, if you're young, probably still happens that when you're coming to the table, somebody asks, "Did you wash your hands?" Okay? Did you wash your hands? We prepare to eat before we sit down, and we prepare for this meal with Jesus as we confess our sins and receive his forgiveness. There's gathering. Secondly, there's listening. Listening and speaking. Those two on the road spoke and listened with Jesus. And we do that in our service as well. in prayer, obviously we're talking to God. In our Bible readings and preaching, we're listening to God. I wonder, have you ever thought that in the readings and in the sermon, we're hearing the voice of God? Now, that's not because there's anything special about the speaker or the reader. Far from it. But there is something special about the message. And we gather to hear not just some notions, but the Word of God. On the road to Emmaus, did you notice what it said Jesus did? It says he opened the scriptures to them. That's the task that a preacher has, is to try to open up this book and to take things out of it, to feed us together. A lovely saying came as well. The two disciples said in verse 32, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Wonder what feeling you have as you sit in church and as we hear the word read. There's many things it might be. We might get stiff back, itchy feet, cold hands. But do we get burning hearts? That's something to pray for. That's what we really want. Hearts that burn within us as we hear. I think that's a reference to the Holy Spirit working inside us to draw us to Jesus Christ as we listen to his word. Something to pray for. Hearts that burn as we hear. There's gathering, there's listening, and then there's eating. So back in Luke 24, these two disciples, they get to where they're going, this village called Emmaus, and they go into the house for a meal and they invite Jesus in. And then what happens? It seems to be a replay of the Last Supper that happened just a few days before that. Because it's exactly the same words. It says, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. It's exactly the same thing that happened at the Last Supper. It's exactly the same thing that's going to happen up here in a few minutes' time in our communion service. We're going to take bread, give thanks, break it, and give it. And it seems to have been a very remarkable moment, because this was the moment where they first recognized him. It says that they didn't know who he was up to that point, and then when he broke the bread, they realized it was Jesus. And some people have suggested maybe it's because that was where they saw his hands, you know, as he got the bread, and so they saw the scars from the nails in his hand. Maybe that's right. But there seems to be a message here that they came to know Jesus in a special way as they had the bread, as he broke the bread. And it seems to be giving us the expectation that we will meet with Jesus in a vivid way as we receive this bread and wine in Holy Communion. Now, how would that work, though? Now, many Christians have explained it by saying that the bread and wine physically change into the body and blood of Jesus. On the other hand, many have reacted against that very strongly and said, no, the Holy Communion is just remembering. This bread and wine are just a symbol. They're just a picture of Jesus' body and blood. And the view that in the Church of Ireland that we take, I think, is something a little bit in between. It's saying that in Holy Communion, we really meet with Jesus. Something very real and significant is happening when we take this bread and wine. We are partakers of his body and blood. We're feeding on Jesus, but not in a physical way. It's not that the bread and wine have changed, but spiritually we're drawing near to him and he's strengthening us. What it boils down to practically is that when you come to Holy Communion, we need to come with expectation that we're going to meet with Jesus Christ. I know people say you should have low expectations and then you won't be disappointed very often. But the Bible's encouraging us to come here this morning with high expectations, with the expectation that we're going to meet Jesus and that we're going to be strengthened by him. There's many here this morning that are newly confirmed. Just a week ago, the bishop laid his hands on your head and prayed for you that you'd be strengthened by the Spirit. And now today, you're coming to receive communion for the first time. And I can remember that myself many years ago when I was at that point. And I wondered, what's it going to be like? What's the wine going to taste like? What's the bread going to be like? Is something amazing going to happen? Is it going to be like an electric shock, you know, going through me? Or some sort of strange experience? Well, maybe, but maybe not. But what we can expect is that as we come forward, and as we think of Jesus and his sacrifice, and as we receive that bread and wine and take it to ourselves, that Jesus will strengthen our faith and that he will sustain us. Certainly these two disciples were transformed by their meal with Jesus, because remember what happened last of all? After they'd come together, listened, and eaten, they went. They went out. Remember they had walked many miles to this place called Emmaus, but immediately they turned around and headed back to Jerusalem. I'm sure some of you were on the walk on Saturday morning, the darkness into light walk, and maybe you've done other lengthy sponsored walks and so on. And most times we don't get to the end of it and say, oh, I'd really like to do that all again in reverse. But here, these disciples say, yeah, we want to go back to Jerusalem straight away. They've been changed. Their heads are no longer hanging down. They're no longer sad and dejected. They're energized. They want to go. The difference that it's made is that Jesus has met with them and strengthened them. And just like in an ordinary meal, we enjoy being at the table, we enjoy eating and drinking, but at some point you have to get up and go and get back to work. And at the end of our church services, we're sent out to go back to work in the world and to live for him. Remember that prayer that we use at the end of communion where we say, Lord, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. So we come in to be sent out for him. The real test of whether church has been worthwhile is not whether we feel nice on Sunday, but whether we live for him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and so on. So maybe there are some of the reasons why church might be good for us. Transformed by eating with Jesus. That's our prayer, that it would happen for us today, that we would be strengthened and equipped to live for him. Amen.